Would Governor Walker make a good or a bad president, and why? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 20th. We will hear from two guests, one a supporter of Governor Walker's, one a critic. And we want to hear from you, too. As Governor Walker is off on a national book tour following the release of his new book, Unintimidated, A Governor's Story and a Nation's Challenge, and he's answering questions about whether he's going to run for president and how the nation could benefit from the types of changes he has implemented in Wisconsin. So would you like to see a President Walker or not, and why or why not? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page, The Joy Cardine Show, or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We also will have an online poll posted at wpr.org/joy. Let me welcome in our guests. We have, as I mentioned, two guests from different political viewpoints. Joe Winicky is with us, former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, and I prefer unbiased observer of Governor Walker than
the critic. You're not. Yeah. Okay, you're an
unbiased
observer.
Well, because I'm completely unbiased on this.
All right. David Blaska is also with us. He is a former Dane County supervisor. His Blaska's Bring It blog can be found at ibmadison.com. And what would you like to be referred to as, David?
I think the Squire of the Stately Manor. That's my latest.
Bat Kid?
Yes. They are both regular contributors to our Friday Week in Review program as well, and now happy to have them on our Big Question segment when we look at an issue facing the state or the nation, and we find two guests to discuss and debate it. And the question that we formed is, would Governor Walker make a good or a bad president? So let me start with David Blaska. You support the governor. Why would Scott Walker make a good president?
Well, I'm reading, there's a lot of Jack Kennedy going on right now this week, and old Joe looked at his son, his oldest surviving son, and said, he's got the goods. I think that Scott Walker has the goods. When you think about, number one, he's got a certain cold-bloodedness, but also some equanimity. He makes Obama look like Barney Fife. He's calm. He underwent a test of fire. He's a national rock star. Conservatives love him. He's got that Christian base. His father is a Baptist minister. His wife is Catholic. He's pro-life. He can shake the money tree. He's telegenic. He is a change agent. He stands for something. He's not in part of the Washington circle. He's a governor. He's got some hands. Right now, I think people are, there's a poll out there saying, you know what, we should have elected Romney. I mean, that's because he was a governor. He did things. And he didn't read about things in the paper, So, yeah, he'll make a great president. He's a great governor.
All right. Joe, as an unbiased observer, why would Scott Walker not make a good president?
Well, I'm unintimidated by Scott Walker. What David said is absolutely true. If you want to get 25 to 30% of the vote, he is a rock star amongst that base. He is. They love him, but that won't elect you president. And, I look at Governor Walker and I view him as almost a rigid authoritarian figure, that it's his way or the highway on everything. And if you want to decimate public education, you want to ignore environmental regulation, you want to declare a war on women and put them back in the 19th century, you don't care what kind of jobs come into your state, Scott Walker's your guy. Yeah. But he's not mine. Wait, I guess I'm not unbiased, am I? At least I have an opinion about him, and it's not presidential.
What about those cons that Joe just brought up?
Democratic machine and the unions, which is their lifeblood, threw everything they had at the man a year ago. And he survived that in better shape than ever. Right now, it's telling, Joe, I think, that right now the anointed candidate by your successor, Mike Tate, as chairman of the Democratic Party, stands for what? stands for nothing.
You have a very high opinion of the ability of party chairmen or party chairwomen of actually having any say over this.
Right,
having
okay.
been one, I mean, you're in defense of Mike, I mean,
yeah.
party chairs don't have the power to anoint candidates for governor.
But he's sure trying. I mean, I agree that he probably doesn't, but they're sure they're clearing the field for a candidate.
Kathleen Vinault might disagree.
She seems
to be planning on a run. I'm not quite sure if it's in her
interest, but
that's her call.
And then we're going to see extreme leftism. Just to address...
You used to almost be a lefty once, Blaska.
I did. You know, by golly, it was like Saul on the road
to Tarsus.
Fell off the donkey and I...
Back to Governor Walker. Let's and whether he's going to run for president or not, he says that this release of his book is not the launch of his presidential campaign. He's getting asked about it on all of his different media appearances these days, and here he is being pressed by ABC's Jonathan Karl about whether or not he's going to run for president. Let's listen.
It's not about the time you serve in office. I feel right now my calling is to be the governor in the state of Wisconsin. That's where I'm called to.
But when you won't commit to serving a full second term, how do you interpret that as anything other than leaving the door open to run for president? And that door is open, right? I mean, you've said it. I mean, you're certainly not ruling it out.
I don't rule anything out.
Oh, he doesn't rule anything. So is he going to run, David?
Well, I think, he's flying the flag and see if anyone salutes. That's what you do. There's a whole little kabuki dance that we do. We can't seem to want something too much. I'd love to hear a candidate, Joe, say, I want this more than life itself. I would give my
which
firstborn.
Which is most of them.
Yeah, well, that is. It is. I think this guy, first of all, do you write a book in the aftermath of all that's gone on? Yeah, I think you do. The time is right. He might as well capitalize on it. There's a lot of interest in that message. But sure, it positions him for consideration as a president. And I think he should be thought of that. I think America, really, I do totally think this, Joy. People are looking for some transformative figure. That's why they elected Barack Obama.
I agree.
Unfortunately, we did not get the transformation we wanted. But they're looking for that. And the Republicans are looking for, they're going back with nostalgia, looking at Ronald Reagan, that he transformed. I mean, I'm old enough, Joe, to remember pre-Reagan. And it was, oh, gosh, he is so right wing. He is unqualified.
That time for Bonzo.
But yes, that was the rap on the guy. But now it's even Barack Obama measures his impact on Ronald Reagan.
And David, because you are a student of history, and you know who Ronald Reagan's hero was. His political hero.
FDR?
Yeah.
Yes.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Sure.
Voted for him four times.
Transformative. He was a union.
I don't disagree with what you said there either, by the way.
Well, David, is there any concern that that Governor Walker won't promise to stay a full term as governor if reelected?
Well, I hope not. I mean, we here in Dane County, we had Kathleen Falk, who as soon as she got elected, ran for something else, attorney general and governor a couple of times. So I don't think, it's a four-year term. Let's be honest. Does Wisconsin want to bequeath Scott Walker to the nation? I do. I'd love to see him as president. I think, first of all, he ran on something, and so did the legislature, and they got elected on what they ran on. And they stood for something. They took some difficult positions.
Where was that position on public employees in the campaign?
I don't know. Where was Jim Doyle selling the state of Wisconsin to the Indians? You're right about that.
But we had a
referendum. We had a referendum on that. It called the recall elections. And that was submitted.
The recalls were after the fact of
and
the
that
2010
was a referendum.
Remember, can you tell me where Governor Walker ever once said that he was going to take away collective bargaining rights during the campaign?
Well, actually, I think he did.
Which small group
There's Milwaukee business. But I'll grant you, Joe, one thing that was not well known, and he himself has said he should have talked it up
before
more.
Before he dropped the bomb.
The bomb, yes, yes.
Well, but what do you think, Joe? Do you think Governor Walker is going to run for president?
I think he wants to. I also don't have a problem with a governor in a four-year term who wants, in either party. right. Wants to run should not be held to some, oh, if I run, I can't run because I must serve out my term thing. Right. And this, and that goes for Chris Christie. It goes for Marty O'Malley if he runs for president over in Maryland. It doesn't matter. I mean,
exactly.
That's fair. I mean, but the part that I have a problem with Scott Walker's candidacy for president, and I'm very serious about this, I think it's going to be tough to run after he's defeated next November for a re-election because he's going to get beat.
We'll talk about that after this break a little bit, his run for re-election. Because we talked to Bill Krause on this show a while back, who thought that maybe the governor wasn't going to run.
I don't know if he's running for re-election. I don't know that.
We are talking about whether or not Governor Walker would make a good or a bad president. What do you think? It's today's big question. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Are there any specific issues in which you think he'd be particularly good or bad at or for the country? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I think it's got to be an outsider. I think both the presidential and the vice presidential nominee should either be a former or current governor. People who've done successful things in their states, who've taken on big reforms, who are ready to move America forward.
That's Governor
Walker. Who has ties to Iowa. Are you getting the picture?
Well, that was Governor Walker talking to ABC about why a governor should be the next president. Well, Joe, why don't you start? He made a lot of reforms, and he says that a governor should lead the country.
Well, you know, based on the Republican model, that of the last two, either current or former governors that have run for president and been nominated, that would be in our next ticket for the Republican Party, and I'm very hopeful of this, would be Mitt Romney and Sarah Palin.
Well, okay.
Well, if you're going to be a governor or a former governor, I mean, that's the last two that were nominated. So why has it got to be you, Scotty? I mean, the funny part about it, of what the governor said there, is that what the governor said was, it should be a governor and it should be me. I mean, if cut through the clutter, I mean, you're naming yourself, which is maybe a little arrogant.
No, I think you're there's a reason you're doing these talk shows at this point in time. And right now,
create jobs in Wisconsin.
Well, you know what? That can't hurt. I mean, let's tell the Wisconsin.
How's he
story.
Doing there?
Well, you know what? How is your legislature doing? You talked about. I just got to go back to this.
Oh, come on, they have 39 members.
You don't
in the
like
house.
You don't like the jobs that he's bringing. You know, mining in Iron County, for instance, a union job that is blue collar. It's going to pay $18 an hour
temporary.
With
temporary.
Well, if 40 years is temporary, sure. Anyway, so he's bringing in jobs. I think Wisconsin's got a story to tell. And the interesting thing, though, Joy, seriously, is here's Barack Obama, who got elected on what basis? That he was going to make government work for the people. Well, how's that working out for the people right now? How is Obamacare working out? You know, Scott Walker, for all the Sturm und Drang, teachers are teaching in.
That was pretty good.
The teachers are teaching in the schools. School boards now actually elected school boards now actually have a little more control over the tax rate, over their curriculum and whatnot. Wisconsin's paying its bills. We're not raiding funds like Jim Doyle did. And the court said, you can't raid the patient's compensation fund. You owe Minnesota some money in reciprocity.
He's not borrowing from the future in this budget like all other governors do. He did too.
Much less. And also,
tax,
the property taxes, for the first time in, I think, 40 years, we've had increases of less than 1% a year in the last 2 years.
I'm looking
in property
forward
taxes.
To my $13. And if I was in the Wisconsin Heights School District, that 2 cents they're getting, I think it is, is really going to help.
You know what? If you don't want to give it to me.
2 cents? I'll give you 2 cents. I don't have 2 cents
understand,
in my pocket,
you
but
I'll
give it to you.
We have callers who want to get cents, so let's go to Brad and Jefferson first. Hi, Brad. You're on the air.
Good morning. As a veteran, I am unintimidated by bullies. I think Scott Walker works against the people and for organized criminals. Right now, you got the Birchers, Cokes, the Bradley Foundation. If he got into the presidency, he would do great for the highest bidder.
Yeah, what about that, David?
I thought Halloween was over.
Well, he's going to be for the rich, is what...
That's, yeah.
Well, you know, we can all be against the rich, I suppose. I mean, I would like to know who's the poor man that hired you for a job. I'd like to know that. You know, the Koch brothers have signed more union contracts in Wisconsin than Mary Burke has. So, you know, who's against the small guy here? And by the way, we were talking outside with Joe Winicky, a good friend here, about the Doyleyers and all the furloughs and layoffs that they had. No one's lost their job in the state of Wisconsin. Under no public employee, under...
That's not true.
Under Scott Walker. Well, I know. I mean, I'm sure there's... But as in the aggregate, and in fact of the matter is, right after the reforms, the student-teacher ratio in our schools, in our public schools, increased. Yes. From what? From 13.53 students per teacher, and this includes librarians and whatnot, to 13.53 from 13.27. In other words, it was tiny that first year.
A pupil and a half per school when you add all the ancillary support staff?
A half a pupil.
That is real. There were 4,000 fewer teachers in Wisconsin, thanks to Scott Walker, the next year, and that is real if it's in your classroom, David.
If you had that many teachers in your classroom or students in your classroom, it'd be a large classroom.
Look, I went to a one-room schoolhouse.
So did I.
My twin brother and I were the first grade. How many did you have?
We had 17 in the whole school.
We had 20.
The caller was saying that go ahead.
What he hits on, and maybe he didn't articulate it exactly right. I think sometimes, frankly, I get tired of Democratic-leaning individuals just making it about the Koch brothers. I've never met Charles or David Koch. They're billionaires and blah, blah, blah.
I've met Raul. They're Harold's brother. Yeah, the strange one.
I know your brother, too. But anyway... what there is an underlying story there, though, and we have created in this country, and Scott Walker is the epitome of this, a structural system that is as bad as it was in the Gilded Age in the 1880s, on where the rich keep getting richer and the less keep having less. And, you know, the middle class keeps shrinking. The top 1% or 2% keeps growing. You have this huge separation. And I don't agree with David that it's only these rich guys who create jobs. I mean, In my opinion, a company that makes money isn't just because some guy had a few bucks. It's the workers that helped create that money for them. And what we need to do is get back to the notion that there is some shared willingness in this society. And we can't just keep going where 1% or 2% of the people keep making more and everybody else keeps making less. And I think that's what he's really saying. And I think Scott Walker is the poster child for that 1%.
Let me take another call. John in Appleton. Hi, John.
Hi, I was just calling because I feel Scott Walker doesn't really have the leadership to be president. He's got the Republican legislature in his pocket, you know, writing laws for him. I feel like a candidate like Chris Christie, who's really has that crossover appeal, is infinitely more appealing to me.
He has to work with a Democratic legislature. What about that compromise, David?
Chris Christie is probably Scott Walker's strongest competition
today.
Yeah, at the moment, you know, this is, and Joe, you know this as well as anyone. We're talking a month is an eternity in politics.
I'm interested in your. I'm very seriously, David. I just don't see how Chris Christie can win a Republican nomination in the state of today's Republican Party. When you go to, I mean, as a student of the game, if you will, right. When you go to Iowa, South Carolina, the Bible Belt pretty early, how does a Chris Christie sell himself amongst those guys who show up at those caucuses and primaries in those early states?
Right.
I don't think he does.
And I think we've had some people win Iowa, and I'm trying to search my... Winning Iowa, of course, is not predictive.
But then you tend to go south, and that's where I think Chris Christie runs into a ton of
trouble. Literally south to South Carolina and whatnot. Yes. Possibly, but New Hampshire's early on too, and
he ought to do okay there. Yeah. But I'll tell you, I think it's very difficult for a Christie. I think the sleeper in this race for over there and on your side is actually Rand Paul.
He probably will put his hat in the ring, and he should. Let's have that debate.
Look, I think in both parties, more the merrier. You know, all this debate amongst lefties in Wisconsin about whether who should be the candidate for governor. Whoever wants to run, just go run.
Let's take one more call before our news break. Scott in New Glarus. Hi, Scott.
Yes, good morning. All candidates or potential candidates on both sides always speak to how they're going to bring people together. If elected, Scott Walker's whole modus operandi is divide and conquer, as we have heard him say. And is that good for the country? I think not.
Joe?
Wow. I used to represent New Glarus. I knew there were a lot of smart people down there with the Swiss, and he was right on.
Well, that's fine. I'm going to run on bringing us all together, baseball, apple pie, and motherhood. Or you can say, let's stand for something. We're at a tipping point in this country. We're seeing that with Obamacare. We're seeing that and there's now apparently a new game where roving gangs of youths knock people down for the fun of it. We're seeing our entitlements, the national debt grow to record heights, and what are you going to cut the baby in half, or are you going to do something? Are you going to take a bold action? I think Scott Walker puts out his vision and says, if you like this vision, vote for it. And if you elect me, I'm going to pursue that vision.
But, you know, but the point about, you know, we should all try and get along. I mean, here's the reality. But here's the point. The two greatest icons of the 20th century amongst the political parties were Franklin Roosevelt and Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Both of which were despised by the other side.
Absolutely. You're correct. Very good.
We are talking with David Blaska, former Dane County Supervisor, and Joe Winicky, former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, about today's big question. Would Governor Scott Walker make a good or a bad president? And we welcome your answer to that question, too, or the issue that you would like our guests to discuss or debate. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
It is, you know, it's funny.
With the release yesterday of Governor Scott Walker's new book comes further speculation that he's considering a 2016 presidential run. We are talking with two guests from opposing perspectives about this week's big question. Would Governor Walker make a good or a bad president? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Wednesday, November 20th. We welcome your answer to that question, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our two guests are Joe Winicky, former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and David Blaska, former Dane County supervisor. His Blaska's Bring It blog can be found at ibmadison.com.
And Joy,
yes?
One quick thing. I've been on this show for too many years because I remember when that bumper music you have was controversial. Some people, you couldn't have, I mean, I like it, it gives you a little spice, but I remember when people would call in and say, you can't have bumper music on.
Stop the music. You know, Joe has been on this show since it began, I think, 20 years
Tom
ago.
Tom Clark was around when, yeah.
And David, you're no spring chicken either.
Thank you very much, Joy.
But we're happy to have both of our guests to talk about this.
They wheeled us in today together.
Yeah,
didn't they
really did. Yeah.
Let's comment on Terry's email. I think Governor Walker would make an outstanding president. He has the backbone we are truly missing in our government. Joe Winicky, he's got the backbone we need.
He's ideologically rigid. I guess that's backbone. I just don't like where he goes with that. I mean, one thing about Scott Walker, it's his way or the highway. And if you like that way, you love him. And there's a certain segment of the population that loves the guy. I don't.
Let me get in on this, Joy. So your question is, would Scott Walker make a good president? And
Did we ever answer that?
My answer is, yeah, I want to get to that. That's what I want to answer. My answer is, compared to what? I got to ask my friend Joe Winicky here. Compared to, do you think Barack Obama's done a good job?
I think within the parameters of what he's stuck with.
Yeah.
Let me give you examples. Three very competent people on the U.S. District Court of Appeals, in Washington, the most important appeals court in the country, have been blocked for no reason other than ideological purity in the last month. They've created this filibuster rule in the Senate.
You can't get
anything done.
Let me ask you this question now.
Lincoln's the only perfect president to me.
Well, you know,
don't tell me he was a Republican, because in those days they were the liberals.
We're looking for a good. First of all, I don't think Obama could manage his way out of a paper hat. you've got Vladimir Putin in Russia, who goes to Sochi, S-O-C-H-I, the site of the Winter Olympics, to make sure that everything's fine, because Russia's going to be
on
the national
stage.
Yeah,
but he took his shirt off and pretended he was a macho man, too.
Barack Obama reads in the paper that Obamacare, the website, is not working. He reads in the paper that, you know, something happened in Benghazi. He reads in the paper that we're spying on Angela Merkel. The guy, I mean, I don't think you got to have a hands-on guy, but I think you got to have a manager. This guy couldn't manage his way out of a paper bag.
When are you guys going to let up on Benghazi? I mean, you've been carrying that dog for a year and a half.
I don't want to turn this into a debate over whether President Obama's been a good or a bad president. We are looking at...
Right, but compared to President Obama, I think Scott Walker, to answer the question for the first time, would make a very excellent president.
Actually, the fun part about it is Barack Obama was elected president twice and can't run again, so he's not part of this debate. Scott Walker isn't going to be elected president, and I would love to know what the New York Times and actual news organizations would do with the John Doe investigations, and even going all the way back to why did he get kicked out of Marquette?
Well, let's actually talk a little bit about that John Doe, because we were talking about it during the news. And if Governor Walker is so hands-on, was he knowledgeable about everything that was going on in his
Well, let's
campaigns?
Understand that in the very first, going back to the county executive days, he and his staff had some questions about this fund, I think, for veterans, and he wasn't getting straight answers. He directed his chief of staff and says, call in the cops. They got to talk to the police. And so he's the one that said, we got a problem here. Let's take care of it. So that's where that came out. And the second John Doe, I don't brag about or claim any inside information at all, except that there's something a little bit Inspector Javert about this. You have, and we saw this on the other side, Joe, with that poor lady and the let the contracts at the Department of Administration. They were hauling her up, supposedly doing favors for Democratic contributors. Federal prosecution put her in a federal prison. And all she did was direct the contract to the lowest bidder. That was a Republican district federal attorney who did that. I think this we're getting to this state here where let's just create the appearance of some of ongoing wrongdoing and investigation. If there's any wrongdoing here, it's probably who did what?
Who's creating this appearance? This was done by the district attorneys and the courts.
This was done by the Democratic district attorney of Milwaukee County. This was done.
It's being presided over now by some judge from Eau Claire with a 30-year prosecutor who everybody agrees doesn't have a taint of political scandal around him, or even knows if he's a Democrat, a Republican, independent, or a hogwart.
Well, do you think that this John Doe is something the Scott Walker's reelection campaign for governor or for president needs to be worried about, Joe?
Oh, anytime you have a secret probe going on about finances and collusion and politics,
and
of course there's a risk.
There's
a risk.
And that is the purpose.
But from who? Who is this nefarious group that's creating this attempt to destroy Scott Walker?
Well, it's the equivalent of the Koch brothers.
As I said earlier, David, I don't use the Koch
brothers. Who went after?
You just use the
who
Koch
went
brothers,
after the Tea Party groups? Am I being paranoid and saying that the Tea Party groups were being persecuted and were being given differential treatment by the IRS?
Yes. I
don't think so. I think it's a fact. And in fact, it's beyond a fact. It's admitted. The question is, how high up does it go?
Well, if you believe in that Bible of your guys, the Wall Street Journal, who did expose this supposedly, which is an intent to muck up the John Doe, is that they're going after a bunch of conservative groups, and they're questioning, why aren't they going after liberal groups? Well, maybe because the conservative groups overstepped their bounds.
Let's move on to another caller who's been waiting, who has a reason why she thinks Governor Walker would not be a good president. Barb in Turtle Lake, go ahead.
I have concerns about Governor Walker's judgment. He has expanded the school voucher program when 20 years of testing has shown that kids in voucher schools do no better than kids in public schools. He has enacted voting restrictions like the photo ID law when there has been virtually no voting fraud in the state. And he seems to surround himself with staff people who don't seem to have the kind of ethics that I think that people in the higher levels of government should have.
All right. Well, those are a lot of reasons, and I don't think we can go to every single one of them. But what's your general reaction, that bad judgment, David, first?
Well, if Scott Walker has bad judgment, then so do the people of Wisconsin. He's been elected twice, the second time by an even greater number. I don't know if the caller from Turtle Lake wants to deprive the, I think it's something like 30,000 needy students in the Milwaukee public schools, if she wants to deprive them of their voucher choices and force them to go back to schools that they don't want. This would be, you know, if she says they're no better than the public schools, that's a damning indictment of the public schools. So, you know, maybe we should be looking at that end. We look for choice in the marketplace. We look for, you know, that's one thing about Republicans and conservatives and libertarians is they don't, like Obamacare, for instance, your insurance policy is no good. The one that you chose is rotten. You made a bad choice. You know, eventually we're going to have a progressive system here where if it's not mandatory, then it's entirely prohibited. I mean, that's, you know, this Governor Walker trusts the people, parents, to make a good decision.
Yeah, so should his position on school vouchers disqualify him for president, Joe?
It should hurt him. Does it disqualify him? No, people have a right to have that opinion. But, you know, 75% of the money that are of the population that's going into the new voucher program were already in private and parochial schools, and now we're giving them a tuition tax break to boot. Pretty soon we're going to be paying them to send their kids to school, and it's all coming out of the hides of the existing public schools in this state, because, you know, it's a finite pot of money and they're taking the money directly out of what would have gone to the public schools. And I'm a old Horace Mann guy. I believe in the common school. That's the function of government. Not if somebody wants to send their kids to private or parochial schools, bless them. But it should not be the role of the taxpayer to subsidize that. And if I was a parochial school parent, I wouldn't want government subsidies, because with government subsidies, if I were a conservative, comes government control. So this whole thing is creating a not a one, not a two, but a three-tiered, separated educational system that's trifurcated, competing for the same dollar, and the only people who are going to get hurt by this are the public school kids.
Let's take another call from Jared in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Jared.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm a independent voter. I voted for Barrett, and I voted for Feingold. But I do have a lot of respect for Walker standing up for something that was unpopular with the unions and then having the courage to fight through the recall decisions by the state. So I do have a lot of respect for him doing something unpopular. I think that's a good quality about our politicians that they should have. But in regards to him being president, I am a little bit worried about his foreign influence that he would have for the United States. Thank you.
I don't get
foreign
that.
Foreign influence?
I don't get the foreign influence.
You dropped that one in at the last minute there, pal. Okay.
Yeah, well, let's not pursue that. He went away. But he, Joe, he says he appreciates Walker's boldness in taking on an unpopular position and
the
fighting.
Yeah, the right to collectively bargain. Boy, now that is that's what a horrible concept that people should be able to join together, bargain collectively for, you know, for income, wages, benefits, the like. This attack by Governor Walker, if you really want to cut to the quick, it wasn't aimed at reducing benefits or anything. It was aimed at destroying an opposition power base when it comes to money in elections. That's why they spent so much time trying to make sure you had to have 50% plus one of the entire population in order to keep a union every year. That's why they got rid of the dues deduction. And by the way, Governor Walker got elected with about 17% of the total vote, you know, because only about 30-some percent vote.
Oh, yeah, okay.
No, so my point is, why does he get the 17% rule and a union worker has to go to 50 plus one?
Well, Joe, I wish that...
Why?
I wish that Scott Walker had just done the merciful thing and dispatched the public sector unions entirely rather than...
Next thing you're going to bring up Roosevelt, aren't you?
Yes, well, you just did it for me. Rather than cripple unions like that, I think it would have been just more merciful to put them out of their misery. Wisconsin was the first state in 1959.
Yeah.
So this is not like, you know, this does not go back to the Gettysburg Address.
So we're the first one to get rid of them, too.
Much less the Constitution. No, there are 24 states that never
There's
had.
There's a difference between the right to work laws and having something and then taking
it
away.
Well, just 10 minutes, Joe. There, first of all, Wisconsin remains is not a right to work state. And he's basically sent out signals that he's not interested in that legislation reaching his desk. But I was going to say, Joe, roughly half the states, I think it's 24, it might be 26, never had public sector bargaining to begin with. And the question arises as to, if you're a public employee, let's take a teacher in the Madison District. Whom are you bargaining against? Whom are you fighting? The people.
No,
the elected
not.
Representatives. There's nobody in the Madison School Board that wants to.
They're the duly elected representatives of the people,
absolutely.
And they bargain with their employees. How tough is that?
Well, in some districts, it's very tough.
We need to take a break, and then we will move on to some other issues as we are discussing today's big question. Would Governor Scott Walker make a good or a bad president, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. In today's big question, we have two guests from different political perspectives, Joe Winicky and David Blaska, talking with us about whether or not Governor Walker would make a good president. With the release this week of Governor Walker's new book, Unintimidated, comes lots of speculation that he is considering a 2016 presidential run. What do you think? Do you think he would make a good president? Or a bad president, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Let's talk a little bit about the health care law, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and its problems and how that's playing out in Wisconsin. We do have the governor calling for a special session of the legislature to delay the dropping of some 77,000 people on Badger Care, saying that, you know, we can't let these folks not have health care if they're having problems getting money on the federal exchanges.
Isn't that ironic?
Well, isn't that a good thing for him to do, Joe?
Well, yeah, except he's the one who kicked the 77,000 people off of Badger Care in the first place, and now he's throwing up his hands and saying, oh, it's Obama's fault. He's the one who kicked them off. And at a cost of $120 million extra dollars to the taxpayers of this state. It is ideological, it's aimed at running for national office, and it's hurting almost 100,000 Wisconsinites. And Scott Walker, shame on you for this.
Well, hang on. First of all, I think if Scott Walker made a mistake on this, it was believing Barack Obama. That was a mistake. It's ironic.
Did he believe him?
Well, because Barack Obama says that we're going to cover those people. They'll be able to get into the exchanges.
And they will.
Well, then we don't have to do anything, do we, Joe? But the fact of the matter is, it's ironic, beyond ironic, that Scott Walker is bailing out Tammy Baldwin and whatnot, who, by the way, also promised before she was elected to the Senate, and she was in the House, you like your plan, you can keep it. She made that same statement.
Boy.
But here's the other thing, too. You keep talking about the money that the federal government does not pay 100% of these Badger Care costs. I think they pay something like 60%.
Yeah, which means it's always been a state-federal partnership.
Which means that the state of Wisconsin's on the hook for the money.
Except
and then,
that short term, the federal government is going to pay
100%
of these costs.
And in the long term,
they're going to pay 90%.
Joe, the problem with the
you got to know the numbers if you're going to make them up.
No, I have not. All of my numbers have been correct, and you acknowledge that. Long term, 60%. And this, the long term, that's the problem because, you know, and this is an old federal trick. We'll get you hooked into this program, and then what we do is we withdraw the federal funding or we lessen it. The state's on the hook. It's happened more than once, Joe. It's happened when you were in state government.
Why did he take almost 80,000 people and kick them out of their health care plan?
Obamacare. That's why. And here's the other thing.
And it's going to cost them money.
And here's the other thing. Jim Doyle, who I don't think anyone's saying, let's go back to the Jim Doyle years.
I will.
Even you.
Compared to Scott Walker, you bet I will.
You had a nice job in the Jim Doyle administration. Is somehow or another, progressives think that if we can not just take care of the poor, which is what Scott Walker's doing with Badger Care, but let's take care of the almost poor.
How is he taking care of the poor by dropping them out of Badger Care? Come on,
if you are at 100% of poverty, you would be taking care of this program.
It was up to 133% until Scott Walker took that whole group. That's the 77,000 people, David, and they are being hosed by this.
Well, they're being hosed by Obamacare.
No, by Scott Walker taking them out of an existing program.
Let's take a listen to Scott Walker talking about healthcare reform on his tour. This might have been with ABC. I'm not positive.
You and I and our family should make decisions ourselves. Give everybody the same tax incentive, where you buy it through a health savings account, whether you buy it through your employer or you buy it yourself. Everyone should have the same tax incentive out there, because then as consumers of healthcare, we'd be involved in it. That's how you truly manage costs, not in the extreme which we're headed, which is the government will play a more active role in that in the future.
So that was Governor Walker telling Sean Hannity that the U.S. needs a free market approach to health care reform. So not Obamacare, this free market approach. Joe, wouldn't that be a good
unmitigated
idea?
Disaster. You know what the code word for what he's saying is? Give rich people the same percentage you give poor people. Now, here's the difference. A rich person makes $1 million and they get a 30% subsidy. That's $300,000. A poor person who makes $20,000 and gets a 30% subsidy, that's $6,000. That's the math.
Mm-hmm. David? Free market approach is what we should have?
Well, it's either that or Obamacare. You can go the opposite. You know, Joe, I'll give you this. I know a lot of your fellow Democrats and whatnot are saying we should go the single-payer system, which means that...
I'm a Medicare for All guy because it's a place, and it's popular. Your parents, I bet, love Medicare.
You know, they're hard to talk to these days.
I know, but mine are too. Yeah, but yeah. I'm sure, you know...
you can might as well.
Jerry was a good Democrat at one point. He would have loved Medicare.
That's my father he's referring to. Yes, and he turned Republican, by the way. So.
Well, he did. You must have done it to him.
Okay.
Well, let me take a couple more calls. Dan in Menominee, do you think Governor Walker would be a good or a bad president, Dan?
You know, I'm kind of a numbers guy, so I'm basing my decision just on finances, and I feel like Governor Walker has made some decisions that are objectively bad for the people of Wisconsin. He turned down a great deal of money for a railroad down south, and that ended up costing us more in fees than the operating cost of the railroad. He refused money for Badger Care, which ended up costing the state more money than it would have ever saved us. And most recently, he's talking about a $100 million tax cut on property taxes, for which he's borrowing money. It's going to end up costing us about $200 billion. I realize he's just playing politics, but from an objective numbers standpoint, some of his decisions have been kind of dumb.
Yeah. Well, what do you say to that, David?
Well, it's interesting that it sounds, Joe, like you've got a good Democrat up there running for legislature. He'd vote against the $100 million tax cut.
It was borrowed.
He would have Jim Doyle's high-speed rail there, which we've had cost overruns. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but California, ask California what they thought was going to be. $30 billion is now something like $100 billion. Ask him about that. When we've got a bus that goes between Madison and Milwaukee every day, every 4 hours. So he's making some prudent decisions. He's, I think, putting that money back in the hands of families and letting them spend that money, I think, is probably better for the economy than a state-directed welfare system.
The money is being borrowed because we have a structural deficit, so they have to borrow the money to pay for this today. Second, David, you fluster me at times. I mean, my gosh. I mean, what the man is saying is that there was $1 billion more, and he forgot another $30 million for internet usage in rural areas. And Walker turned it all down for ideological reasons. And your only argument, which keeps coming back, is, oh, you can't trust the federal government.
Well, because we have less than a minute to go, maybe just a two-word answer here. Is Governor Walker going to run for president, David?
I think he is running for president.
You think he is right now? And, Joe, do you think he is?
Yes, and his chances are 0.0, to quote Dean Wormer from Animal House.
Do you want a quickie on whether his chances are 0.0?
Just like Dean Wormer.
You are neither fat, dumb, or stupid. So, or drunk this morning, so I think that's coffee. So,
it is coffee.
So I don't think you can quote for Dean Vernon Wormer.
When the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Yes. Did we go? No.
I want to thank you both for being with us. We're out of time. David Blaska, former Dane County Supervisor. You can find his Blaska's Bring It blog at ibmadison.com. Joe Winicky, former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And thanks to Bill Martins and to Christy Taylor for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. By the way, Governor Walker is going to be on this show a week from today at 8:30 until 9 o'clock talking about Unintimidated.